Good afternoon, everyone out there in Radio Land. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and just slid into the chair, and Brother Chip is just leaving. So what a great day with him and his music constantly on this station, and we all really appreciate that. So, looking forward to a great show today. Betty and Cindy will be joining me in a little while. And before we do that, we just want to talk about all the blessings that God is doing in so many of our lives. We are seeing tremendous answers to prayer. And so many of you are sending your prayer requests into our prayer line on the email. And we are seeing God move tremendously. And that email address is prayers@bohmglobal.com. BOHM, of course, stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we've had this prayer line going for a number of years, and we have seen so many wonderful answers to prayer. God gets all the glory and the praise. We're now hearing from people in other countries more and more as our Starcom Media listeners are beginning to use the email and also the Google Voice number so that we are hearing from many of them. And back in January of this year, we were very blessed and privileged to be able to get our shows, both of them, this one and our Thursday night show, on Starcom Media Network. And that network goes globally and goes across several cities in the United States and in several countries. So wherever you happen to be today and you are listening to us, then welcome wherever you might be. And we are looking forward to a great show today. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and this is our ninth year on the air. On this show, and we are almost to the end of our first year for our Thursday night show. And the Thursday night show is great, and it's a life coaching show. It's different than this one. This one is centered around the Word of God and contemporary Christian music that will bless you, and practical Christian living is this show. The Thursday night show is with me and my other name, Mama Mac, along with Dr. Angel Falzoni, who is a part of our ministry and is a PhD and licensed mental health counselor and actively working in the community as a therapist. And she is over several therapists. And so it's a joy to do a show with her every Thursday night. We look forward to it. September, the middle of September, will be our first anniversary for that show. And that show's name is Go Yard, which means hitting a home run. I'm a big baseball enthusiast, as some of you know. And actually, my oldest son, Ryan, gave us the name for that show. And it just fits in perfectly. Learning to hit home runs in life and not always striking out with all the things that we are involved in and we have to deal with on a daily basis. So that's Thursday nights, and it airs right here live on tantalk1340.com at 6:06 p.m. Eastern, runs for an hour. And it's also on Starcom Media Network several times during the weekend, and as is this show. So wherever you are and wherever you are catching this show, welcome. And we're just glad that you're joining us today. If you miss shows, especially in this series that we're on right now, there is a great way to go back and catch up to those shows. This is almost the end of the month. It's actually the last show of August for this show, August 30th. So now, tomorrow, our webmaster, Dan, will take our shows from this show, Living the Good Life, that aired in August, and also the ones from Go Yard in August, and put them on both of our websites. So if you have a pen, I'm going to give you those websites, because you may want to go back and listen to some of these shows that you might have missed in this series we're doing right now. For the ministry, for this show, our website is www.bohmglobal.com. And that, again, stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries. So it's just an easy way to remember it, bohmglobal.com. You can go to radio broadcasts, and there you're going to see hundreds, and I mean literally hundreds of shows on our ministry website. Since this is our ninth year, at the first couple years, we did not have that ability, but technology has improved so drastically that now we can get our shows up on our website, and they're on there like till Jesus comes forever. So anyway, they are there. And on Go Yard, the Go Yard website it's different from the ministry. It is goyard2014.org. It's .org, not .com. So the ministry, which is for this show, is bohmglobal.com. Then go down to radio broadcasts, and it'll open up the years and titles of shows, and you can listen at your leisure. For our Go Yard shows, they are also posted at the end of each month, and that website is goyard2014.org. So there you go. You got all the info on how to catch up on any shows you might have missed. And, you know, there's just so much that God is doing in our lives. And it's exciting because we serve a living God. We serve a God that cares about the details of our lives. Let's pray together, and then we'll get started with our first song. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be on the air today. We thank you for the way you continually bless this show, and the way that you just speak through the songs, speak through the teaching and what we talk about and the principles that come out. Lord, we just thank you for that right now in advance for a great show. We know that you are working in our lives. We thank you for every listener, wherever they might be around this globe. You get the glory and the praise for doing the work in their lives and in each of our lives that you do each day. We love you and we bless you, mighty God. Here we go. By the group Sidewalk Prophets, listen to this song, You Love Me Anyway.
The question was raised as my conscience fell, a silly little lie. It didn't mean much, but it lingers still in the corners of my mind. Still you call me to walk on the edge of this world, to spread my dreams and fly. But the future's so far, my heart is so frail, I think I'd rather stay inside. But you love me anyway. It's like nothing
from your brow, but you love me anyway. I am the nail in your wrist, but you love me.
Praise God. Woo! Great words to that song. You love me. You love me anyway, no matter. You know, and that is so very true. He does love us no matter what mistakes we've made, no matter what is going on in our lives, no matter how many failures we can look back in our lives and say, whoa, that happened and that happened. Woo! Who's on the line with me today?
This would be Betty Thomas in Indiana.
I didn't know if it was you or Cindy, so I just had to patch you through and see who it is. So now we know the next caller will be Cindy.
You know.
Betty is a dear friend of mine, and actually, Betty and Cindy were a part of my church. I pastored in Indiana for 7 years up there several years back, long time ago, actually, Betty, when we were young, right?
Yeah, younger.
Oh, we're still young. All right.
We're still young. We're still young at heart.
There you go. All right. We are. Yes. We're in a new series. I'm excited about this, and it's really been fun teaching this. And this is It's finding favor forever. And I think so many people go through life, Betty, thinking God's mad at them, thinking that they have messed up so much that they cannot be in God's blessings and have the provision and the prosperity and the things and all the answers to prayer that God wants to give us because they feel like they don't deserve it. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yes, in fact, we've had several conversations over the last few weeks about God's favor and that you don't have to be perfect.
Right.
That you can come to him no matter where you are, no matter what you've done. And just like that song says, he loves you anyway.
Amen.
No matter what the circumstances that you've been through.
Yes.
Having conversations with people as they think that, you know, God carries a gavel and that, you know, he's judgment this, judgment that. Well, I pray, but I just can't break through. And that's where our faith comes into play, Marcia.
Yes, it is.
Marcia, and it's sometimes we do have to wait. But if we wait and hear that still small voice, it always comes shining through.
Oh, absolutely. And he never forgets us. You know, so often we feel like God's just not paying that much attention to us that he is to other people, but it's just not true. And we just have to really remember what the word says about how much God loves us. And David says in Psalm 5:12 that, Lord, you surround me with favor like a shield. And I think that verse is just really important in the study that we're doing on favor. You surround me with favor like a shield. If we can picture what it would be like to have a big shield walk, you know, around us at all times, you know, and that's the kind of favor that God gives us. Pretty cool, don't you think?
It is. I think, you know, the Lord is probably, he is just so awesome. And in his awesomeness, there's, you know, he covers, I mean, there's so many verses within the text of the Bible that says he covers us with his feathers. He covers us. He gives us the armor to use, on a daily basis, and it's all
yes.
scripted out in the Word from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament of the favor that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. You know, as we are in this book of Ruth, it's only four chapters, and it's the eighth book of the Bible. So if you want to grab your Bible, it's close to the front. And it's a story that happened 1300 to 1400 years before Jesus was born. So about 1300 to 1400 BC. And Ruth was a daughter-in-law of Naomi. Naomi and her husband had gone from Bethlehem, Israel, over to the land of Moab because there was famine in Israel. So they went looking for a better life. You know, a lot of times we go looking for something better in life, don't we? You know, we just feel like, oh, this isn't working. I'll try a new job. I'll try this. I'll try that. And that's what Naomi and her husband did. They got over there and they were there for about 10 years. And during that time, her husband died. Her sons got married. One of them married Ruth and another one married a woman named Orpah. And her sons then both died. So as we begin the book of Ruth, we see Naomi, whose name means in the original Hebrew, pleasant and agreeable. That's what her name means. She has become very bitter because of the loss of her husband and sons. And Betty, I think a lot of people can relate to how bitterness can set in with loss, with disappointment, don't you think?
Oh, yes. And, you know, it happens so often. I know if any you were talking about moving, you know, being transient, losing a partner, losing a child.
Right.
We think that God has something against us.
Right.
Because it seems like, you know, the more storms we go through, you know, we're supposed to become stronger through that. That's when we're supposed to lift our eyes into the Lord.
Yes.
And as humans, we have a tendency to withdraw.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes maybe out of fear, maybe sometimes even out of guilt. There's so many things that can play a part in that. It's hard to determine at which point, you know, people go, you know, can stay into a state of depression.
Right.
But that's when we have to pull out and we have to say, okay, God, you're not going to put any more on us than we can handle. I can't handle anymore. And just by saying, Lord, I can't do this on my own.
Right.
I need your help.
Right.
And I think that that's when the safety net comes down. That's when the favor enfolds us even more than it does on a daily basis, that he takes us and he moves us into another realm.
Yes.
He takes us out of that realm, that spirit of heaviness comes off and the garment of praise comes on. And I think it's an unfolding, so to speak, of things to come, of I don't have to stay this way.
Right.
You know, we have to want to change. We
right.
have to want to get out of that pit that mm-hmm. we're in.
Yes.
Sometimes we have to pick ourselves up by the bootstraps.
Yes.
But Lord helps us with those, and he sets us on higher ground.
Oh, absolutely. And we see that with Ruth, and Cindy's on the line. We're going to talk to her in just a minute. But we see this with Ruth because Ruth, in chapter 1, says that very, very famous verse, and I think it's Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, where when the daughter-in-law decides not to go back to Bethlehem with Naomi, and she goes back to her land after they've all set out on foot, headed back to Bethlehem, Naomi and her two daughter-in-laws, since the husband and the sons are dead, Ruth says, no, I'm going with you. And in just as a reminder, Ruth 1, verse 16 and 17, Ruth says, and I'm reading now the Message Bible, don't force me to leave you. Don't make me go home. Where you go, she says to her mother-in-law, where you go, I go. And where you live, I'll live. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Where you die, I'll die. And that's where I'll be buried. So help me God. Not even death itself is going to come between us. That is such a famous verse and so important. I've used that in many, many weddings through the years that I've performed, and I think a lot of pastors have used that concept. And Ruth was saying to her mother-in-law, I'm headed in your direction. I believe in your God, the God of Israel. I believe that he is the one true God. And so at this point, things begin to change for Naomi. But even down at the end of verse of chapter 1, Naomi says, don't even call me by my name Naomi, which means pleasant and agreeable. She says, call me bitter, because God has really dealt me a bad hand here. And she goes on and on at the end of chapter 1 of Ruth, Naomi does, the mother-in-law, saying, you know, God's done so much to me, and she blames God on everything that's happened. Now, and we won't tell you everything that we just did in chapter 2 last week. You'll have to go back and hear the show. But let's start today with Ruth chapter 2, verse 20. And here we see that Naomi says, when Ruth comes home and she has been out in the field and she has been what we call gleaning, in other words, picking up the scraps, really, from the harvesting that was going on of the wheat. And when Ruth comes home with a lot of leftovers from her lunch, that this kind man Boaz, and we'll talk more about Boaz later, that Boaz has invited her to lunch with all the workers, and she comes home with a lot of leftovers, and she comes home with a whole lot of wheat that was she was able to gather, and so they were provided for. And when Naomi sees this, it's so cool. In verse 20 of Ruth chapter 2, Naomi says to her daughter-in-law, why, God bless that man. She means Boaz. God hasn't quite walked out on us after all. He still loves us in bad times as well as good. And I think that's a great place to start this show, with that concept, that so often we get to thinking that God's walked out on us. We get to thinking that, where in the world did God go, because he's not helping me? Cindy, you want to comment on that? Then we'll go to Betty for a comment on that concept. Because Naomi's got a awakening here in Ruth chapter 2, 20. She's had an attitude adjustment, if you will. Hey, Cindy.
Hey, everyone. How's everybody doing today?
Good. Glad to hear your voice again. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Enjoying this beautiful weather we still have going here.
In Indiana? Good.
In Indiana.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Well, look at it. What do you think of Naomi's attitude adjustment, Cindy?
Well, that's wonderful that she saw the light.
Yeah.
And we do think that God is not there when we're going through those tough times, and so much is coming at us. I think it takes time before you get enough faith to know he's there.
Right.
But sometimes we just feel so terrible about our situation, and we are so bitter and unforgiving that we just blame him.
Right.
And I don't know. Deep down, we know he's there. We know he still...
Good point.
Is going... We know he still loves us, but it's like he forgets about us. Maybe he's busy taking care of somebody else right now, and he doesn't know. He doesn't pay attention to what's going on over here with us.
Right. We get there. We get to those thoughts sometimes.
We get to that place,
yeah.
And mm-hmm. Woe is me.
Right.
I think it's a pity party a lot of times.
I agree.
Just woe is me, you know?
Nobody likes to go to those pity parties, by the way, Cindy.
But, no, we don't need to be there.
But, right.
Yeah, when Naomi sees the light and realizes, you know, that she's being taken care of, she's being fed, God is providing in his own manner through Boaz.
Right.
You know, it. I think that's when she really gets down inside of her how much he really does love her.
Mm-hmm.
And is going to be the provider.
Exactly. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And Naomi says, in the rest of chapter 2, verse 20, she says, that man Ruth is one of our circle of covenant redeemers. He's a close relative of ours. And we're going to talk about this redeemer thing here today on the show. Of course, one of the names of God is our Redeemer, Jehovah, and I cannot pronounce the Hebrew word, something like Glocklock or something like that, and I'm sure I butchered it, and if Pastor Jim's listening, the Hebrew scholar, he's going, ah! But anyway, this is one of the names of God. He is our Jehovah, our Redeemer. And so Naomi says, you know, this guy that allowed you to glean in his field, this guy that shared lunch with you and that told his workers to protect you and take care of you, he's one of our close relatives. You know, this is no coincidence. And it, so often I think we attribute things like this to coincidence, Betty, and when they're not, they are that God's opportune moment where God is involved. Betty, you want to comment on that? And then we'll go to Cindy for that concept.
Yes. Now, one of the things that while you and Cindy were talking is that, you know, Naomi was bitter.
Yes.
But she saw something that I think changed her attitude, was to see that Ruth was being blessed.
Yes.
That, you know, God is not, maybe if we see it in someone who's very close to us, that maybe God's not as far away as we think he is.
Right.
Because if he's helping, you know, this, if Ruth, you know, Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi saw what was happening to Ruth.
Right.
God had her in the right place at the right time to be able to receive a blessing. And Naomi's thinking, well, you know, if she's being blessed, God's not that far away.
Yes. Well, it's interesting that at the end of chapter 1 of Ruth, it says they arrived back in Bethlehem, which was Naomi's hometown. They arrived right at the beginning of the harvest season. This is no coincidence that they arrived time, the perfect time. And guys, we need to realize that people come into our lives for a reason, that especially godly people. They are in our lives for a reason. They are there to shine a little bit of God's light and his grace into our lives and to remind us that God loves us. And, I think it's so cool. There are no coinky-dinkies with God. There are not. God is a God of purpose and intent. He is intentional. Talk to me about that, Cindy, because this is all very intentional, what's happened here to Ruth and Naomi.
Well, I'm a firm believer in that nothing is by coincidence when God puts you in the right place at the right time.
Right.
It happens throughout our daily lives with job situations and our basic ministering needs. You know, when we need a little uplifting, he might put that right song on the radio or that right phone call from
the right
person, or we bump into them at the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after living a few of these intentional coincidences of God, you start looking back at that and going,
whoa,
wow, that was kind of weird how that connected, or how that person, you know, sometimes it don't come to you till later.
Right.
And then you just look back and you're like, wow, all that really had to take place in order for me to be where I'm at today.
There you go. If I had my bell in here, I would ring it right now. That's
a
huge point.
It's a design plan that God has gone before and designed. And then when, you know, we don't see it sometimes till we see all those, it's like a maze. You take all them zigzaggy paths down to, you get where you're at, and then you look back and say, wow, that was all so I could be right here.
Woo! That's good. Yeah. That's good. Betty, you got a comment on that because Cindy's right on there. Woo!
Yeah. Well, it's Cindy, great point. We have opportunities in our lives that God gives us, whether we know it's him or not, to be able to bloom where we're planted.
Yes.
If we were talking about, you know, people come into our lives for a season. And a reason.
A reason, a season, or a lifetime, you know?
Exactly. It's just there's no when it comes to God, there is no time.
Right.
I mean, it's just, it's in a moment. It can be in a blink of an eye. But it all boils down to is that we bloom where we're planted.
Right.
No matter what we see, the circumstances of what we feel or see,
mm-hmm.
is we know that God is working mightily.
Amen. Woo!
It's an opportunity for us to shine.
Yes.
It's for us to take God into this darkened world. And when we were talking about transient, I've been very transient in my life, along with my family, moving from state to state or from city to city due to unforeseen circumstances. And when you do that, you know that God is with you, because for some, I mean, just out of the clear blue sky, in His timing comes a blessing.
Right.
Whether it's being able to give a homeless person money, or you give them food, or you give them an opportunity to show your love to someone else, or to show your gratitude to someone else, is that that's that time where we reach out, do things that are maybe we're out of our comfort zone in, preaching, talking to public, you know, being a public speaker, sending someone as minimal as a card or a handshake or a hug. Those are the things that God wants us to
Amen.
Do. And where we're planted, wherever
Absolutely.
We are, in our job, in our church, whatever, is that God has an opportunity. Don't pass it up.
That's exactly right. Amen. And here we've got Ruth in this, at the right time, she's at the right place at the right time, you know, and Boaz, she finds favor with Boaz. And one thing we're going to talk about today is how Boaz is a representation or a foreshadow of Jesus, because Boaz's life, there's so many things that Boaz does here in the next couple chapters that are that point us to Jesus, that Jesus came and fulfilled. So he's like what we call a type, a shadow, coming, and he's a representation in the Old Testament of what Jesus was going to come and do. So the first thing that we see that Boaz does is that he sees that Ruth is there, and he says to his workers, protect her. Let her find the food she needs. Give her, you know, make sure nobody hurts her, harms her. Give her lunch. You know, in other words, Boaz reminds us of how God does that with us. He takes time to make sure that we're protected, that we're in the right place at the right time, that God is seeing about our needs. Woo. I don't know, but that blesses me, Cindy. Comment on that. I mean, Boaz just shows us how God takes care of us, just like he did with Ruth.
I just was sitting here going, things were popping in my head about all the times that God has showed up in dire, straight times of need.
Yes.
And those, and you know it's him when it happens.
Right.
I have been so close to running out of gas in my car. I have ran out of gas in my, but just by the hair of a fume, I've rolled into the gas pump, you know?
Yeah.
Just stuff like that, that you really know you put yourself in a, you might, you know, in a position that you're really taking a risk, or you really don't know what the outcome is. And, I mean, I can't put my finger on specific incidents other than the gas thing, but there's just times in our daily lives that we need a miracle.
Right.
And that angel just shows up on the side of the road. I can relate to it with car trouble, just being out there stranded in a parking lot or something somewhere, and God just sends an angel with jumper cables and
right.
the tools and just gets you on your way. But at the same time, I was not only the recipient, but a giver in that situation where that happened with this elderly woman who was stranded, and she didn't know a thing about this car, and it wouldn't start, and this is a true story. This happened to me the next day after I was blessed. He used me to be that person to help that elderly lady get on her way, and I got that car started. You know, I used the jumper cables and all that, and I thought, wow, I don't really know if I could have done that without God's help,
Woo.
Because it was, you know, it, it's not my nature to be a mechanic, but by no means. But he gave me the ability to fix whatever was wrong with that car and get that woman going. And it was, to me, a big deal because it was like, wow, God just showed up for her.
Yes.
She realized how blessed she is today because that was God that had me at the right place at the right time.
Oh, that's too cool. I love that story.
Yeah, but he's been there for me like that in just even the just minimal situations, but we would be stranded without him showing up.
Yes. Woo! And the same with Ruth. If Boaz had not shown her favor and mercy here and said, hey, who is that over there? Who's that new girl? That's what happened in Ruth, too. Who's that new girl? Well, let her get some of these, the stuff that's fallen off the truck or whatever it was. I'm sure they didn't have a truck, but, you know, something where all the gleanings that were falling on the ground as they were harvesting, let her get that, you know, protect her. Don't let anybody hurt her. Betty, comment on this. This is good concepts here, right here about God, about the way he does take care of us. Cindy, that was a great illustration. Hey, Betty.
Well, yes. Great. It was awesome. I tell you, just while Cindy was talking, as she said, you know, you have all these ideas coming to your head. And I think that Boaz saw something in her that God sees in us. And that's her heart. He saw a fragile human being. And you can just tell, you can just feel by your spirit that there's something special about that. There's something special about her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I want to show her favor because I see her heart.
Right.
I see that she wants to do her best. She gives her all. She works from daylight until dark. You know, she does the things maybe that most other people wouldn't do. And there's people today that do jobs that other people wouldn't do.
Right.
But they work so hard, and God sees that. And Boaz saw that in her. He saw her determination. He saw something in her that needed to blossom, that needed to grow. And
praise
by
God.
Showing her kindness, by showing her love, that it caused her to blossom like a beautiful flower because she bloomed where she was planted.
That's,
I hate to keep saying that.
That's right on, though. Yeah.
But she's blooming where she's planted. God put her there for a reason. Boaz is showing her multitude of kindness through just the small things that he did to have someone watch over her, give her whatever she needs. And that's what it brings me to tears, because that's what God does to us.
Amen.
I'm going to give you whatever you need.
Yes, that's the God we serve. Yes,
that's the God that we serve. You are exactly right.
Amen. And you know, so often we get so bogged down, and I know you both can relate to this, in our daily pressures, our daily struggles, our work, our jobs, our family, our kids, and whatever. And, you know, we just get bogged down with the details of life. And God wants to remind us today on this show, I really believe he's trying to drive home a point. We can walk in the favor of God, and he does notice us. Like Boaz noticed Ruth. He does see what we're going through. And dear listener, wherever you are in this big globe, you know, wherever you are in this world, and whatever your circumstances are today, God wants you to hear that he loves you, that he has a plan for your life, and that things are not happening to you by coincidence, but instead by divine design. And that God knows where you are right now. He knows what you need. He knows what your pain and suffering is all about, whether it be physical or emotional. God knows what you're going through. He is our everlasting God. And I've got to play this song right here and get back to Betty and Cindy right after this song. Listen to this, Everlasting God.
Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall and exhaust. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They'll soar high on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint.
Ooh, I love that. Woo! Praise God. What a great reminder to us of our everlasting God, that he gives strength to us. And he did this with Ruth here in Ruth chapter 2. And let's start into chapter 3, and we'll get Betty and Cindy's comments here. One day, her mother-in-law, Naomi, this is Ruth's mother-in-law, said to Ruth, "My dear daughter, isn't it about time I arranged a good home for you so you can have a happy life? And isn't Boaz, our close relative, the one with whose young women you've been working? Maybe it's time to make our move. Tonight is the night of Boaz's barley harvest at the threshing floor." And this happened during harvest, and they would, the landowners would stay all night on what they called the threshing floor. And it was the time of when they were separating the wheat from the chaff or the weeds, basically. And so the landowner would make a bed, really, right there on the threshing floor. And it happens, again, not a coincidence. Isn't tonight the night, she says? It's not a coincidence at all. This is God's divine timing. And so what she says to Ruth, she says six things here. So here's the first one. She tells her to take a bath. That's the first one. And spiritually, let's talk about that concept, because God's word reminds us in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. That's that taking a bath. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And it's a reminder here. It's a physical concept. She said to Ruth, go take a bath. Get ready for this big night. But also, it's a spiritual concept, because we need to continually be washed by the water of the Word. And when we are in the Word of God and we allow the Holy Spirit to clean us up, boy, does he ever do just that. Cindy, comment on that, and then we'll go to Betty on this concept about taking a bath. Not just physical. This is spiritual and emotional. Whoa.
I think daily, you know, we have to ask him to take those things out of us that are not pleasing to him, that would give us a bad attitude or a bitterness towards someone. So, yeah, I think we need a daily spiritual cleansing, and we need to ask God to show us what those things are we need to work on. Sometimes it's just stuff in us that we're not even aware of.
Right.
But, yeah, spiritual cleansing, I believe, is necessary every day to ask God to put that, you know, in front of us so that we know what we need to change.
Right. And when we see... Yeah, when we see those bad attitudes, when we, like Naomi had to have an attitude adjustment, we all need attitude adjustments from time to time, don't you think, Cindy? Sometimes we all get kind of, you know?
Yeah, we sure do.
We can get down, depressed, discouraged, kind of mad at God. Betty, comment on this, because I think this first concept of taking a bath, I agree with Cindy, is something that's an ongoing thing we need to be doing a lot of, besides take a shower every day.
Yes, we must. But I think the cleansing is a washing away of all of the junk and the things that we may get involved in that we shouldn't be involved in, and it's purity. It's,
yes,
washing us as white as the driven snow.
Yeah,
it's a repentance. It's a Mr. Clean moment, as we've talked about, you know, of in the past, of taking our old self, and that the Lord makes us brand new.
Oh, You know, as you were talking just then, it reminded me of snow in Indiana, which, of course, I grew up there for part of my life, or actually more in my adult life for a number of years. And I remember what it looks like when the snow is coming down. And it's, I remember the blizzard of 78, and I was stuck in my house with three little tiny kids under the age of four. And I remember that blizzard, and I remember that the snow piled high above our front door, couldn't even get out. And it was beautiful. I remember my son, Ryan, my oldest, and Lori, my daughter, going out and playing in it. Mark was a baby. He couldn't. But they went out, and they just loved it, and it was so beautiful. But then after a few days, what happens to that beautiful snow in Indiana, Cindy? What's it look like?
Well, it starts melting away. It's slushy.
It's gross. Well, it's just, it is, it's like the stuff of life after, you know, that cleansing. We're talking here about taking a bath and cleansing, and that, and Betty said it's beautiful, like white, like driven snow. Well, when the snow first comes down, it's great. But after life happens to it, cars and, you know, people trudging in it, it gets nasty looking, you know? And sometimes we need that cleanup, you know what I'm saying? Comment on that, Cindy, and we'll go to Betty.
Betty was talking. What went through my mind was that we might need to clean ourselves of people, some people in our lives.
Right, right.
There might be relationships or people that are in our lives that we don't need to associate with. They may be that influence or maybe just bringing negativity into our
good
our
point.
Our lifestyle. So, yeah, sometimes it's not just the junk that is within us or the stuff we're doing. It could just even be the people that we're hanging out with.
Oh, I think that's a huge point, because people that are dragging you down or being negative, Betty, you want to comment on that? That's a good point, Cindy.
Well, we all have those type of people that have a negative influence.
Yeah,
on
we
us.
Do. We do.
But if you have the armor on, if you have the strength to overcome them, I think sometimes God weeds them out or takes us out of the situation. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
that
I do.
He will remove us from anything that would harm us. Or, again, those people maybe were there for a season, a reason, or whatever, that it... I'm trying to say something, but I can't get it out.
No, you're saying it. You're saying it.
Is that I'm saying it, but I don't know if I'm making sense. Is that, you know, we have certain things that people that come into our lives, and it's just like what Jesus did in the Bible. If he couldn't get through to these people, he told the disciples, wipe yourselves off, dust off your sandals, and go on.
Right.
So Jesus tells us that if we're not able to help a certain person, or if they are a negative influence in our life, if they're making us feel less than what God delights in us, that we have to step out, take that step of faith and say, okay, God, if this is what you want, then you lead my path. You lead the direction that you want me to go in. And he does.
Good point.
I honestly believe that. He's done that in my life on numerous occasions. It's people that I was not able to minister to, or I was not able to let them, I wasn't able to lead them to Christ.
Right.
And that's just one incident that you want.
Well, some people
want to do what you just want to do what God wants you to do.
That's it.
But it's just that they're not ready, or they don't want to change. They want to stay in the mire. They want to stay in their alcoholic state, or they want to stay in their drug-induced state. They don't want to move on because they're happy. They think they're happy where they are. Now, does that make more sense?
No, it does. And it's not that those people are necessarily bad, but a lot of times they are bad for you or somebody. And sometimes we've got to, it's just like Naomi and Ruth leaving Moab and going to a better place. You know, they went back to Bethlehem. And even Ruth recognized that Naomi's God, the God of Israel, was the one true God. And she was not going to leave Naomi because Naomi served God, you know. And so Ruth was willing to leave her family and everything behind. And sometimes we come to those crossroads situations in our lives where it's time to take a stand or time to quit hanging around with people that are so negative or bad influence over us. It's time to make a break, you know, and let go of some of that that's dragging you down, whatever that might be, you know. Woo, let's look at point two here. Then Naomi said, put on some perfume. Well, perfume, yes, smells good physically, but this is also a spiritual concept. And the concept is anointing. And if you remember in Psalm 23, David said, you anoint my head with oil, okay? And the anointing is representative of the presence of Almighty God. So it's one thing to let go of the past, take a bath, let go of it. The second point is whatever you let go of, you need to be filled up with the good things of God. You need to have so much of the presence of God in you that people say, what's going on with her? She's different. Or he's not acting the same as he used to. What's that sweetness? What's that kindness? What's that goodness that's coming from that person? Never seen that before. Woo, Cindy, comment on that, and then we'll go to Betty on this. It's just put on some perfume. Woo.
Put on some perfume, put on some music, some good Christian music.
Yeah.
Get in a good book.
Right.
Get in the word.
Exactly.
It's preparing yourself. You put your makeup on and your perfume to get ready to go out, for the evening or whatever. We have to put on not only our armor every day, but also, you know, fill ourselves up in those empty places with God's word and with good spiritual reminders of who we are. And, you don't want all that junk back on you once you start cleaning up.
It's That's really right.
easy to go back. So every day I think you have to put your perfume on and fill yourself up with the things of God that will keep you clean, I guess. Keep you. It's just like a drug addict. Every day, it's one day at a time. You've got to tell yourself, not today. Not
right.
today.
There you go.
If I can leave that negative junk behind or leave that fix behind just one day and I get through this day, just one day at a time.
There you go. There you go. Woo! Comment on that, Betty.
Well, I think this happened probably not too long after we started going to your church in Indiana, is that I always remember the fragrance of God.
Yes.
You had talked about that.
Yeah.
The sweet smell.
Right.
That it's almost like the presence of God.
Exactly.
Walked into the room, and it was just like, you couldn't describe it as hyacinth. You couldn't describe it as violet. You couldn't describe it.
I remember that.
Now,
yeah.
Is that it came in a wave. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just like someone had just doused the whole room with
I remember that. Yeah.
And
that happened more than once in services.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. And I
you remember it, Cindy?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do. And I have experienced that before, too.
Yeah.
In other services. To me, at the one time, though, significant, I remember it smelled like roses.
Roses, yeah.
Just filled the room.
Woo! And that's what we're talking about here. Betty, go ahead, Betty. Finish your thought, because we got to go to station ID here in just a minute.
Well, it was just like a smell of the Holy Spirit, a
right.
sense of God's presence. And I think that the Lamb of God was so pure. And so cleansed, as you were talking about in Ephesians on Friday, about how the washing,
yes.
the cleansing
yes.
of you know, Christ and his church, is that when you get into that presence of God, that everything else just melt away.
It does.
And you have that fragrance of his presence.
Amen.
That is just, it's such a clean, refreshing scent that only God can give.
Only God. Woo! Boy, all right, we are going to resume this conversation in a few minutes. This show is a two-hour show, so don't go anywhere. And we want to remind you to use our prayer email at any time. Betty, you and Pastor Jim are the ones who pick up these prayer requests and send them out, don't you?
Yes, yeah. It's probably one of the greatest things that I have been able to do for the Lord is to be able to pray.
Right.
And it gives us such a sense of accomplishment when you send out these prayer requests and then a few days, weeks, months later, you get a praise report in and you get to report that, you know, send it back out and say, hey, look what the Lord is doing.
Amen.
God's not dead.
Woo!
You know, he's alive, he's living,
yes,
and he's still working today. And
that, amen.
I tell you, it pumps you up. It gets you excited to realize that, people, God's coming back.
Yes.
And we see so much bad things in the world that, you know, God gives us that opportunity and that communication to be able to pray for each other.
Amen.
And that's what we do through the prayer ministry, is that we pray for people. And we approach the throne boldly and ask God, please help us. Give us an answer here. We need a miracle. And
amen.
We've seen a lot of miracles.
We have. And we encourage you to pass that email address on to anybody, your coworkers, anybody. We have a large team of people scattered in different parts of the United States who pray for these requests. And Betty's right. We see tremendous answers to prayer. One more time, prayers at bohmglobal.com. We got to do station ID, and then we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hill.